So good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. It is it's a special one for me. I'm so glad all my kids are here with me today. My son-in-law, my new grandson is here today. Man, I'm happy. I'm so grateful. Grateful to be here this morning. So out of all of the attributes of God, right? So as a God, he decides to choose the way he represents himself as a father. Do you ever think of that? I mean, not on accident, not just because, but God himself, the creator, the being, the I am is the only way that he can describe himself accurately, right? Like the I am, like the one that always was, the I am. chose to describe himself as a father, not a mother, not a being, not a spiritual entity, not a deity. He is all of those, but chooses to identify himself as a father. And I thought that's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. I mean, there's so much there. We could talk an entire 20-minute sermon on that, but I'm not gonna. But today I want to talk about understanding what it means to be a church leader through the eyes of fatherhood, through the eyes of manhood. And so as we think about this today, I always try to put a topic behind a sermon and obviously speak the truth out of Scripture. And so today we want to talk a little bit about what it means to be a godly man. So ladies, you can still listen in, but you can contextualize this as well. As a godly man today, I want to talk about it. I'm not going to beat you up, guys, today. Don't worry. This isn't one of those things where you come to church on Father's Day like, oh, great, the preacher's going to just beat me up because I'm a man. This isn't what we're talking about. That bring joy. Serving God. Where God is by serve God begrudgingly. We serve with gladness in our heart. We all serve God and with thankfulness. We're thankful that he sent Jesus, his son, the Father sent Jesus to save us. And so we're talking about serving and understanding what that means, those foundational truths for all Christ followers, that we're called to love God, we're called to serve him, and which means we're called to serve others as well. So we don't want to just say that we are servants. We don't want to just say that we serve. We want to show it. And so I want to take a look at a passage of Scripture that gives us a great list as men, as church leaders, a great list for us to kind of ascribe to. It's 1 Timothy, found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. So quite a long passage this morning, but hang on with it. We've got it on the screen today. You can follow along. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home. He must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? A church leader must not be a new believer because he might become proud, and the devil would cause him to fall. Verse 7, also people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons must be well respected and have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Verse 10. Before they're appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. The same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control, be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife. He must manage his children and household well. Those who dwell Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Jesus Christ. And so a list for us to follow as church leaders. And so I want to just say one thing, that a strong church needs to have strong leaders. I mean, do you believe that? A strong church needs to have strong leaders. And as we think of this, as we look at this passage, we're going to dissect it a little bit to really pull out what it's trying to say. You see, it's not leaders who are headstrong, or where it's my way or the highway kind of leaders. That's not good leadership. That's not good leadership. But it's being that servant. It's being someone who serves, who they truly must serve people. Strong leaders are humble servants, caring, compassionate. The story of D.L. Moody was a preacher back in the day, and one of the world's most famous evangelists. He held a conference in the U.S. for a group of European pastors in the late 1800s. European customs in that day was to put shoes in the hallway at night for the servants to shine the shoes. That was the custom in Europe. In the U.S., there were no hall servants. When he walked down the hall of the dorm, Moody saw shoes, and he didn't want to embarrass the pastor, so he gathered up the shoes and shined them himself. The European pastors never knew who shined their shoes. But this gives us a great insight to one of the reasons why D.L. Moody was used by God in such a powerful way. He was a man with a servant's heart, the basis of his true greatness. And so, great illustration, great story of someone who sees a need and just doesn't wait and say, hey, I need the servants to take care of it, but he steps in. What a true servant, what a true man of God. So as we think of 1 Timothy, something of a passage that I've been studying here recently and kind of trying to apply it to our church in practical ways and thinking about how does our church run? Are we a 1 Timothy chapter 3 type of church? Are we at 1 Timothy chapter 3 types of church where we see there's two offices, so to speak? There's the elders and the deacons, according to the word. And so that first word, elder, it's kind of an interesting thought here. Is the elder is that overseer, right? The overseer, the one who is kind of like the pastor, or there's another word called like a bishop. We don't really use that word much. But this is that position that some pastors in a local church would be an elder, so to speak. And it's a position of responsibility. The Greek word is to kind of to inspect. That's that Greek root is to inspect, is to really kind of oversee, to look out for, or to look after. That's the eldership. And so this is a huge, huge responsibility as an elder. And then as we take a look at verse 8, it talks about another word, deacon. And so this is the word deacons, where it's literally the root is like table waiter. Table waiter. So we go out to dinner, you may go out to lunch this afternoon, and you're going to have a waiter or waitress, but that's the word deacon. That's that person who is there for you to serve you, get you a new Coke, get you whatever, bring out your food. Hey, I need a napkin. That's that word for deacon. And so that's that servant's heart. So there's a chart behind me that really kind of takes this list and really breaks it down. And so if you're like me, guys, I need a list, right? My wife will sit there and tell me all the time, hey, I need you to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. I'm like, dude, it's going in my ears and it's not connecting to my brain. Anybody with me? No way. Not us guys. I tell her, I need a list. And it's not even that. I'm like, no. I will lose the list. Just text me, right? Just text me, seriously. Because we always have our phones on us. I will lose the list that you tell me, and I will not listen or hear you when you ask me to do something, so just text me. How far have we come in marriage? I'm telling you. So I need a list. And so as Paul writes to this letter to Timothy, he's simply giving him a list. And so I love this graphic. And so you have elder, deacon. Whoops, where'd it go? There it goes. Elder and deacon. So the elder, there's the list on our left. Above reproach, sober-minded, self-control, hospitable, able to teach. not violent, not quarrelsome, not a new convert, thought well of by outsiders. And so as you see that middle, as they combine, the middle section is where the deacons and elders, they share these attributes. One wife, respectable, dignified, not a drunkard, not addicted to wine, not a lover of money, not greedy. Manage your household, manage your children. So those are the ones they share together as elders, deacons. And then the deacon, the standalone ones, are not double-tongued, the hold to the mystery of the faith, tested first, proved blameless. So I thought that was a really cool graphic for us to kind of grab a hold of. And the idea today, the idea really for us as men, is to aspire to be godly people, godly leaders. I don't want to just kind of single this out today for us just to say this is the elders and deacons of Dighton Wesleyan Church. See, it's written in the Bible not just for pastors, not just for church leaders. It's written for all of us. So the word is clear for all of us. This is something we should aspire to. And I'm talking to the men this morning that we have no excuse to say, no, I'm not a leader. I'm not a church leader. I'm good. No. You're a man. You're a man. And so when I read in Scripture that here's a list for men to ascribe to, here's a list. I don't care what your position is. I don't care who you are. We should be ascribing to a biblical godly lifestyle, shouldn't we? A biblical godly lifestyle. I don't care who you are. We should be ascribing to this. And so men, whether you're a young man, old man, middle, somewhere in the middle, this is our list. And so when we think of breaking all of these down, we can spend a lot of time. But I won't spend a ton of time in every one of these. But we do want to talk about some of these in detail. See, I love that middle one here because they both share. They both share that idea of like one wife. I think we get that, right? I mean, we talked about this in a small group this morning about how one wife is a blessing in and of itself. Can you imagine any more, guys? They're a blessing. I can't imagine more than one wife. They're so awesome. That's right. I mean, can you? Anyway, one wife. And so being respectable, being dignified, I mean, it's just kind of going through life, making sure that you are respectable. Not a drunkard. I mean, that's an easy one, right? That's obvious. Not a lover of money, not greedy. I'm telling you, us some guys, all we do is we strive and we strive and we strive for more. All we want is more money, more this, more that. That's like within us, and we've got to be careful not to be lovers of money, not greedy, but we want to be givers. We want to be people that can manage our household well and manage our children, of course. And so if you take a look at that, if you're like me, I can email this to you or whatever if you need it, or take a snapshot with your cell phone. I think this is a really cool list for us to just to really study later as guys. So I want to take a look, however, at Acts chapter 6. So if you want to pull up your cell phones really quick or open your Bibles. Acts chapter 6, I don't have it on the screen today, but I think it's worth mentioning this morning. Because this is kind of that idea of being a servant leader, being a Christian man, being a man that is possessing these qualities, these godly leadership qualities. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Let me just read this and let me kind of pull it into context. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent in the church, right? Rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Verse 2, So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are all well-respected and are all full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll give them this responsibility. Then we as apostles can spend our time in prayer teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, so they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Procurius, Nancor, Timon, Parmenius and Nicolaus of Antioch, these seven represented the apostles who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. And so, as you see, I say this passage of Scripture this morning because what was going on was the ministry of the church was expanding. I mean, the gospel was being shared. The apostles, the teachers, those people who were moving the gospel of Jesus Christ forward, what ended up happening was the church started growing. And you guys all know what the church is, right? That's all of us. We're the church. And so grumbling started taking place. People started complaining. The people who wanted to wear masks were complaining about the people who weren't wearing masks. Too soon? Too soon? No. I'm so glad that's over, by the way. Good gravy. Does that sound familiar? I'm telling you what. I'm telling you, a couple years ago, it was a reality. Some churches. Anyway. So some Christians were complaining about the Greek-speaking Christians. And over here, the Hebrew-speaking Christians were over here, and they were fighting and arguing, complaining. Can you imagine? Have you ever had an argument with somebody in church before? Never. Never. And so the apostles were like, hold on, you guys. This is crazy. This is crazy. There's a problem here. We need to be teaching the Word of God and spreading the gospel. We need to be about prayer, about reading Scripture and study, so that the gospel can be moved on and on and on. And we're talking about feeding people here. What's going on? Like they lost the main focus. And so in their wisdom, the apostles simply said, we need some helpers. We need some people to help. We got to just have like this food program. So in their wisdom, they're like, let's just pick seven people. We need some helpers. We need some servant leaders. We need some table waiters. Some table waiters, some deacons to help with the ministry, the day in, the day out, the feeding program. They're putting on a food program because people are complaining and griping, and they're just realizing that they cannot do it alone. And so in Acts chapter 6, as we think about this, it's a beautiful illustration, example of the church functioning properly. So as we think of this, we want to grow the kingdom of God as a church. But sometimes things just bog us down. Things of the life of the church, there's things that need to be done, need to be take place. I cannot do them all. So there's this issue of understanding that what our goal is to seek and save which is lost. Spread the gospel. Share our faith. Share the good news. Be about praying for our community and praying for each other. And so if we want Dighton Wesleyan Church to be as strong as it can be and accomplish what God has for us, then servant leaders are the key. Servant leaders are the key. So our reputation as servant leaders is distinguished only comes when our reputation exalts Christ. So we last Sunday was a great Sunday. I want to thank all of you who were here for Serve Sunday. This was our second Serve Sunday. And what we did was we didn't have church. And some of you realize that, of course. We didn't have church, and we just went out and served our community. Some of us went to go hand out lemonade, free lemonade at the Dighton store. Others went and fixed a roof. Some sang hymns to old folks. While others, they just were here, they were serving by underlining Bible verses in Bibles so that we can give those away. The list goes on and on. And I want to thank all of you who are here. I want to thank all of you who went out and served. Because it's so important as a church that we serve in the name of Jesus. And I can speak for my team that we were down there at the Dighton store and we didn't see a ton of people, guys, as Dighton, right? I mean, we had so much lemonade left. But some of the divine appointments that took place, talking to the owner of the Dighton store, how appreciative she was for us just being down there. And simply our presence there, she was just absolutely thrilled with having us there as a church. And so as a church, we need to be serving our community. We need to be like table waiters to our community. Going around asking people, hey, can I get you another glass of water? Or is there anything you need? Is there something I can do for you right now? I'm your deacon. I'm your table waiter. And so as we think about that in the life of our church, we want to represent Jesus Christ in the best way we can. A couple of passages that come to mind. Matthew chapter 20, verse 6, the greatest among you, Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, through love, serve one another. And so as we think about being a waiter, a waitress, a table waiter, this is our idea, the idea of deacons, elders and deacons, serving one another and serving each other, serving our community in love. And so as we kind of conclude this thought this morning, as you all may know, that's kind of the new church year. June 1st, the new church year, we go from June to May, and things kind of take place, and things change, and leadership exchanges a little bit, and the church is definitely in need of some table waiters. We're in definitely need of some table waiters. We need some people to really pray and see, God, where do you have me serving your church? So a good church needs strong leaders. So I want to encourage you today. Men, there's the list, right? The list is there for us to be a leader of your church, be a leader of your household, be a leader in your community. I'm not saying coach a baseball team. I'm saying be a spiritual leader, be a godly man. So this morning, I want to encourage you to prayerfully take out that green sheet of paper. You should have gotten one of these as you walked in this morning, I hope. So if everybody can take that green sheet of paper out, and I want to discern this morning what your role would be here at the church. And again, I'm not asking you, this isn't a bait and switch. This is nothing, this has nothing to do with, like, this is for you. I mean, this is for you. Like, we need to be in leadership. We need to lead the gospel moving forward. And each and every one of you has a special gift. Each and every one of you, God has blessed you. God has given you something. God has uniquely created you to be you. And as you see, there's a slide behind me, and there's another sheet that you may have or may not have been given. But these are just all of the areas of our quadrants in the church. These are the people that serve. I'm telling you what, there are some fantastic servants. God has blessed this church. Generationally blessed this church. Of some of you who have just given and given and given and given and given again. But it's time. It's time that those people take a rest and take a break. Some of those people aren't even in here this morning because they're downstairs with the kids. And so there's times where it's kind of like passing the baton, right? It's kind of saying, well, they've done it for the last whatever, how many years, it's my turn. I'm going to serve. It's time for me to put an apron around my waist and be that table waiter, that table waitress. Be a deacon in the church and to serve. So I would encourage you, those of you who are serving, if you're on this list, thank you, thank you, thank you. So appreciate you. Appreciate all of your love and your support and your help. And yet, maybe some of you, I want you to discern and just pray. Say, God, I don't really have a role at the church. I'm really not necessarily, I'm not a leader, or I don't really have a servant's role. And And so maybe you just in prayer that God would lead you to check a box on this green card. And just prayerfully consider, Lord, what would you want me to do? So just print your name on the bottom. Check the boxes that you feel God is leading you. And then simply just put this green card in the back. There's a table back there to the left as you exit this morning. And so thank you for all of your faithfulness, for those of you who have served so, so faithfully. So I want to encourage you, those of you who don't find yourself in any kind of service, just pray. Say, God, is it my turn to step it up? Is it my turn to take the next leg of the race? Is it my turn to teach some teenagers? Is it my turn to help out and teach the children? Or is it my turn to cut some grass or wherever God has blessed you with? All I'm asking you is just to ask God and say, God, is it my turn? Is it my turn to be that deacon or deaconess that can put that weight, that apron around your waist and just serve? Let's pray together. Lord, we're so grateful for the ministry of the church. So grateful, God. And there's times, Lord, there's times like in Acts chapter 6, there's times when the apostles have to stop this thing that's going on and say, listen, we need to appoint some people to ministry. We need to appoint some people to ministry. So Lord, I pray that you would place upon these folks' hearts today so that the ministry can move forward, so we don't have to cancel things, so we don't have to go without VBS or children's ministries this summer or youth group this year. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon this church so that we can move forward in ministry, teaching people, teaching young children the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God, today we thank you. Thank you for this great reminder. And Lord, I want to pray for the men, especially right now. I pray for myself. God, I pray, God, that your Spirit would fall upon us, convict us in areas that we need to be convicted, prune us, shape us, use our wives to help us be the best godly leaders that we can be. Lord, we give you our lives today. We give you this church. We just want to see people come to Jesus. We want to see the numbers change towards salvations and baptisms. Lord, we give you our lives today as servants for your purpose this morning.